Hello and welcome back to WBFY's Interview and Public Affairs Time. That's Saturday afternoon. Our next interview, Tom Gilligan, is interviewing Don Rainey concerning a magazine that Don started about home building and contracting. And here's Tom.
Thanks, Vic, for this opportunity. I'm here today with a friend of mine, Don, who I've known for quite some time, and just discovered actually tonight over dinner with four of us sitting around that he actually started a not a publishing business, but a magazine. And Don's going to tell us about that, how he started this particular publication, I guess I should say, because it sounds like an unlikely thing to do, and I'd like to hear more about it. Don, can you give us some background on that?
Oh, hi, Tom. Good to be here. Well, I had an idea for a magazine as an architect who designed and built some houses. I had an idea that there was probably a market of a sort about how to build a house done in, from a contractor's point of view. Since when I was a student, I actually built two houses in graduate school.
With some other students?
I designed them and contracted for them.
All right.
Paid for them and hired some fellow students to help me build them.
Okay.
And so I liked the idea of designing and also the idea of building. After I designed and got out of school and built several houses and designed them using contractors, I found that I really enjoyed spending time hanging out with the contractors.
Oh, really?
And sort of chatting it up with them and sort of learning their tricks and the ways they made things work and
how they worked with customers, probably, too.
Yeah.
And, among other things.
And how they found quicker ways to do things. And
really? Okay.
The whole idea.
There must have been a certain trust there that this was divulged.
Well, yeah. The whole idea that God, this is house scale building. You know, it's mostly built of wood.
Right.
And so it's stick built housing. There are ways that are more expeditious than other ways. And the quicker you're able to do your job as a contractor, the more money you can make, since most of them bid for projects based on a total amount of money.
This magazine, I thought it was going to... I'm not familiar with it, folks. I thought it was going to be for the house, soon-to-be house owner, but is there an audience for whom you are... Was it for the contractor? Was it for everybody?
Well, I guess it's for... It turned out to be... for the homeowner, or not necessarily someone that wanted to build a new house, but someone that wanted to renovate the house, so that, say, you wanted to put a porch on your house, I could talk to a contractor who built porches, and we could end up making an article about how that's done, and the best way to do it, and the use of lease materials to achieve the best results.
Oh, really?
And how to estimate and how to figure out what things are going to cost and how to approach the project.
So economics are a major part of the considerations, and people probably are scared of it. I would be scared of it. I have been scared of it. And yet you're addressing that right away, apparently, in the articles.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you were asking how I got into the magazine part of this, which is after several years of talking to contractors, I got this idea that that maybe there would be a magazine audience for this, especially people, so many people, which the Home Depot generation of people who renovate their own houses.
Okay, and when was this conceived and more or less brought about, Don?
This is back in the early 1980s.
Okay. I didn't realize Home Depot went back that far, but it does.
Well,
for the beginning.
I don't mean to imply that we were connected to Home Depot.
Oh yeah,
anyway,
it's not a self-promotion.
Yeah, it's a concept that the Home Depot thrived on the individual homeowner buying materials. I mean, they thrive on contractors as well.
Okay.
But a lot of it is from people who buy materials to renovate their houses. I was talking to someone in New York. And
sorry to interrupt you, Don, but what was the title that you did? You play around with the title, or did that evolve?
Well, the title of the magazine came from the next part of the story, which is that there was an existing magazine that was called Fine Woodworking. I didn't know the magazine at the time, but people I spoke with, especially contractors at the higher end of the woodworking world, would often mention Fine Woodworking as an exquisite magazine focused totally on really super fine woodworking, beautiful, beautifully made wood pieces, tables, super high-end craftsmen. And this magazine was published by a guy who had left General Electric and had this idea because he loved fine woodworking himself and did it in his basement. But then he got this idea that there'd be a magazine for other guys who did this, as well as serious craftsmen.
Oh.
And he made a business out of this, and it really took off. He had a good sense of how to establish a business and how to keep it going and how to hire the right people and how to get advertising, which is key.
For the purpose of running the magazine?
Yeah.
You're talking about, okay.
No, that's what he did. He made a very successful magazine, and it had a huge advertising base. All the equipment manufacturers and tool manufacturers, people who would advertise here because they could sell to these craftspeople. So people kept mentioning this magazine to me, and then I sort of called this guy up one day and said that I had this idea, based on his idea, of making a magazine about how to build a house in you know, whether it had to do with building a porch or putting in a toilet, new bathroom or a toilet. How do people do that?
Okay, so this is the same guy that ran that Fine Woodworking.
So
he called him.
Okay. And he had created a publishing company that was successful.
Okay.
So he liked the idea, and we got together, and he decided this is a reasonable thing to do. So let's sort of spend some time and put together a concept for this magazine. And
had you struck a deal by then, or you were in the process?
We're in the process of... I was young and enthusiastic.
In your 20s
and
30s?
In my 20s, and decided that...
And you were out of grad school.
Then I was out of graduate school, and I just had done my time that one has to do as an intern, as an architect, and I was just bored with that at that point, and wanted to do some writing, since I had an undergraduate degree in English and literature and writing. We got on and we put together a concept for the magazine, and he did what it took to make a publishing world of it. I mean, he figured out the costs and all of that stuff. I didn't have to do that.
Okay, and he had a circulation base.
And he already had a
distribution.
Yeah. He already had all of that.
Okay.
Then we spent months putting together the first issue. Usually in the magazine business, you want to have three issues already together before you start.
Oh.
You don't want to just do one and then have to scrape up the second one. So you have three, and we did had three issues. And to get those issues, I had to travel around the country and meet contractors. And we got references.
How would you approach them, Don? What was your basis for... When you went to the contractor, let's say I'm the contractor, what would you be asking me, saying to me?
Yeah, well, the first story I actually put together, it was in South Carolina, in Charleston, and it was a story about restoring the classic Charleston house, and.
Is that a museum or just in?
It's a house style in Charleston with porches. They're long, narrow buildings with porches along the whole length of the building, so the big doors and their high ceilings.
Detached houses?
Well, they're classic houses. They're, you know, sort of created, the design was created in the 1800s before air conditioning so that they could use the natural environment to keep them cool.
Okay.
And so these houses had fallen to serious disrepair in Charleston, and it was the beginning of the first wave of Northerners finding out these gorgeous things existed in Charleston, and they were going down and buying them and restoring them to perfection. And so we knew somebody that suggested you should go down there because things are happening there. So I went down there, and we had, through a network of connections, found a contractor that was open to having a story about how he restored the porches on these buildings. And so I arrived, and he'd already started, and we talked, and I just always, as I said, enjoyed talking to contractors so I could know enough about what I was talking about so that it wasn't like they felt I was somebody didn't know what they were talking about. And they wanted publicity, which is always a good one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
it wasn't like you were stealing an idea or something.
No.
They wanted publicity.
No, they wanted the publicity.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons in the end this really took off, because there were contractors clamoring to get into the magazine and all sorts of equipment manufacturers clamoring to sell and buy ads to get to these contractors. So it was actually a good marketing venture.
But what about the readership?
And the readership came through... Initially, through the readership of fine woodworking.
Okay.
And then expanded from there because they were able to start selling these magazines in Home Depot and Lowe's. And
it was called Fine...
Fine, and then...
Fine since house it, building, since home it, building, or what?
Yeah, and since it was...
Which was it, home
that
building?
It was Fine Home Building was the ultimate thing. And it wasn't really my title because it had to fit the Fine series that he had started.
Right.
So I just joined the Fine series.
Uh-huh.
And so we then, which has expanded to other things since then, Fine cooking and Fine sewing.
Yeah, actually, folks, this is how the conversation came up tonight. I asked somebody where their recipe came from this incredible summer cobbler, I think it was. And she said it was from Fine Cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was... Anyway, that's another subject.
It
so
is.
Tell me more, Don. So you have your first...
So we had the... So it, but part of the problem was that since it's a magazine, it had to be visual as well as words.
Yeah.
So there had to be photographs. And the amusing part of the first story was they had already started on this project... When I got there,
the contractor was striking a deal.
The contractor down in Charleston
was already
working on the project and already gotten maybe a quarter of the way through it. And when I arrived, I said, No, I have to have photographs right from the beginning. You've been taking photographs? He said, no. So I said, well, you're going to have to take all that out again so we can start from the beginning. Are you willing to do that? And he said, well, if you're going to publish me, yeah, I will do that. And so he took everything apart.
Oh, wow.
And we started from the beginning. And we just kept photographing everything he did. And after that, I learned to always connect with the contractor in advance to tell him we're going to need the photographs from the beginning.
Advanced planning when we're
all the way. Exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah. But the fact they were really gracious guys.
Okay.
We had a great time together.
Uh-huh.
And so that's basically how it went. So I didn't have to start a publishing company, but I just started a magazine within a publishing company.
Okay.
So remind me how this started. I'm curious about the thought process of how somebody starts a magazine. I mean, you've got to have an interest or a passion. But can you talk more about your extreme interest in this, or how that developed? Or that's, I think, something I'd like to know more about. How you got on, you were already interested in, tell me your interest and how this kind of developed, if that's possible.
Well, my interests were one, as I've said, how contractors actually build things, how things are made. So in architecture school, you learn how to design things, but you really don't learn in most architecture schools, certainly not in the one I went to, how things are actually made. So you can draw a line on a piece of paper, and you really don't know how that line is going to be accomplished in the real world.
Okay.
But that is something that always interested me. How, whatever I draw, I really like to have a sense that I know how that's going to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my
the wood and everything, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And some of the my architectural gods were not people. First of all, this is pre-computer drawn architecture.
Okay.
This is when you actually had to draw things on paper mm-hmm. with a pencil.
Right.
And my gods, my architectural gods, were people who really knew how things were made. And the most famous of them all was Alvar Aalto, a Finnish architect.
Alto.
Uh-huh. Who most people know because he designed so many different things aside from buildings. People often know about his glass vases, which sort of look like they've been sort of warped in heat, and his bent plywood chairs.
Oh, bent plywood, right.
And he invented that.
Oh, he was the one who got that going.
Yeah. And so,
did he do this all out of Finland or?
Yeah, he did in Finland.
Okay.
Yeah. And I actually got a chance to go to Finland with a chance to write about Finland before. So I had already had some writing experience at this point about architecture. And I had gone to Finland to, Alvo Aalto was dead at the time, but and still is. And see his work and just be inspired by his ability, even in large-scale projects, the details, the wood details, essentially wood, although all of his buildings were built of concrete and steel like other big buildings, but there was always a final sense of the craftsman in them, and that he knew how to do that. He knew how to get the most of out of every material. So that was my inspiration for the use of wood in architecture.
But he was also known for glass and other building materials too. But
he was.
When you went there, were you writing about all his about him or
yeah, I was writing architecture about him, in general, about, him. About him and his architecture and other.
You were writing for another magazine? Or
yeah, I was writing for an architectural magazine.
Okay,
and they paid for my way.
Okay,
and it was a two stop trip there and then. On from there to Leningrad and Moscow,
really?
To see how
see how
Russians were doing it, with no sense of craft whatsoever.
With no sense of craft, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, they were just throwing up architectural buildings with no craftsmen.
Really,
no, they were just really. Although Russians constructivists were really brilliant. Conceptualists back in the 1930s. By the time I was going there in the early 70s to write about this, they were just building concrete blocks.
Hmm.
I mean, there was a poor country, and they needed to get stuff up fast.
Housing and factories.
Yeah.
So, what did you get out of? I mean. So sort of getting off topic here, I think a little bit, but I wanted to know what the drive force was behind wanting to write about building fine houses. And you certainly had some examples there of great diversity of experience and forms and materials. So, when you came to America back home, I guess...
Well, this happened over a period of years. It wasn't like it happened 1, 2, 3...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so then this magazine, we got more refined and we hired staff that were just as enthusiastic about this as I. And then we put together a year's worth of issues. And then I decided I wanted to do something else.
Really?
I wanted to go back and do architecture again.
Oh, you wanted to actually be an architect and use it. And it, I guess this might have helped you to some degree in what you did in the future. Well, that's quite a story. So if somebody toys with the idea, words of advice, Don, if you will, if somebody's toying with the idea of getting a magazine going on a subject that they are very interested in, what would you suggest they do?
That's a good question. Actually, after I went back to doing architecture for a while, I thought...
After
the magazine. And then I started to think, well, maybe I should do another magazine. And I had an idea for a magazine. But this time... I couldn't find a publisher that it just fit the slot.
Oh.
So, since I already had experience and a resume that said I had started a magazine and people knew the magazine, I went to a big publishing house and I told them my idea for a magazine, and the head of the... I won't mention the name of the publishing, but there were big publishers. And the head of the publishing house liked the idea and set up a lunch for me and him to go to the Stork Club and have lunch. And
Stork Club
in Manhattan.
Manhattan, okay.
And I don't know if it was the Stork Club. I'm just joking.
Club 21.
It was 21, yeah.
Okay.
And so I had some graphic layouts. That's what you would do, is you'd create some physical layout of the page, of the idea, the name of your idea, and a written concept for the magazine.
Okay.
And then you sit down and talk with somebody who has the finances and the ability.
And is a publisher already. Okay.
That's how I would approach it. That's not the only way to do it, but that's how I did approach it.
Okay. Well, this is great, getting your experience here on starting a magazine. A rich story, and I'm glad that you were able to spend some time and share this with us, Don. Maybe we'll have you back at some point for further developments on such subjects. So thanks for coming, and it was a pleasure to talk
to you. Well, you just give me another great meal like tonight, and I'll be back. Thanks,
Tom. All right, I'll keep that in mind. Sure, Don. Thank you.